and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe, and thank you for listening.
Gold Mary in the bag tied around my handy for my protection. I'm walking around with a big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land. I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Me, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Oh, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold and cola, tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave. Keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, yeah, salad. Herb man.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to also turn your life and health around. I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able, trusty assistant, Brother Frank Smith. How are you doing, Brother Frank?
Your assistant, trusty, worthy, is here. How are you doing, Doc?
I'm doing extremely well. You know, over the last few years, Frank, we've been, as a community, talking about the fact that Black lives matter. And certainly they do. Mm-hmm. And we need to do everything we can to prevent the robbing of our families and our communities of these lives, mm-hmm. that are too often taken by individuals that really don't mean our community any good, you know? And so that's something that we have to really make sure that we do. But I believe that we also need to give special attention to Black male lives, both old and young, because they're taken from us indiscriminately. But today I want to take this concept to actually another level, and to suggest that Black male health also matters. That Black male health also matters, and we want to get an understanding of prostate cancer. And we want to do it together. And that word together, yeah, to me is very, very important. It's as important as any of the other words, because we have to do it, I believe, as a community. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Mm-hmm. Prostate cancer remains a significant health concern here in the United States. You know, prostate cancer is the most common cancer among men in the United States.
Wow.
The American Cancer Society estimates that over 313, almost 314 new cases of prostate cancer diagnosed every year. You know, at least 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. At least 1 in 8. Mm. You know, the older you get, the worse it is. You know, if you're older than 60, about 6 in 10 of the cases are diagnosed, all right? And the average age of the diagnosis is around 68 years old, you know? And the incidence of the how often it's occurring, the incident rate was decreasing. Now, since 2014, it's been increasing by as much as 3% a year, you know? Prostate cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death in men in the United States, second only to lung cancer, all right? Now, but what we must understand is that prostate cancer risk is significantly higher in the African-American and Caribbean.
Like everything else.
Here in the United States. More than twice African-American and Caribbean-American are more than twice as likely to die from prostate cancer as other as white folks in this country, and that's significant. And it's interesting that Hispanic men generally have a lower incidence and lower mortality rate than non-Hispanic whites or black men. Mm. So that's something we at some point we want to look at.
Mm-hmm.
This disproportionately high rate of prostate death and black men is really a complex thing, but we need to try to get to the bottom of it because we need to understand it. It's only, Brother Frank, when you get to the root, when you get to the root of the problem, that you can really understand it. You know, there are many factors, biological factors, socioeconomic factors, systemic factors, cultural factors, you know, that's involved. When we look at the biological or genetics, it said that black men have a higher prosthetic incidence rate globally. Well, I tend to sort of disagree with that, and I'm going to go back and double check. But I believe that African men living in Africa have a much lower incidence of prostate cancer than does black men living in the United States.
Mm-hmm. All right, urban or a city?
You mean in Africa?
Yeah, in urban.
Well, you know, when probably even urban have lower incidences of cancer, because as we're going to see, there are factors that are unique to this country that tends to really cause this increased rate. You know, you're more likely to be diagnosed if you're African American male at a younger age, all right? And it's more often to be a more aggressive form of the disease. Now they try to explain that on genetic predisposition and so forth. They try to say that black men have a higher level of free testosterone and increased androgen receptors, protein levels in their prostate cancer. And this may be true. This may be true, but the fact is that when African American men present, they tend to present with a higher PSA level. You know, the prostatic specific antigen level, and a higher Gleason score, and this goes to indicate that cancer is more aggressive. You know, I've seen people with numbers almost. Well, one guy, he was over 2,000, PSA. Over 2,000 PSA. But the interesting thing, he lived for a number of years with that elevated PSA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, number of years. You know, and we see that black men have a higher incidence of what they call preclinical disease, meaning the cancer is present, but it hasn't been detected. You know, and when this happens, there's a greater tendency of the cancer to metastasize even before it's diagnosed. And so we have to look at it. But one of the critical things that I believe, and I did an extensive study once on why African-American men had such high levels of prostate cancer. And I believe it was a study out of John Hopkins showed that it was the socioeconomics that black men were under such chronic stress from racial profiling, from discrimination, from exposure to violence, you know, that they had lack of healthy food options and environmental exposure. Now, these healthy food options is somewhat social, but we have to take responsibility too for that. And one of the things that we want to talk about today is the importance of us taking responsibility for where we are and doing something about changing this number. You know, one study showed, for instance, Brother Frank, that in environments where the level of care was comparable or close to comparable, the death rates of black and white men were about the same. And that was in the military
hospitals,
where you had pretty close to equal access. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that we have more prostate cancer. We have it at a advanced stage, and there are factors associated with that. One of the factors I'm going to suggest, as I've already mentioned, is this stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said many times on this program that all cancers, I believe, are precipitated by chronic stress. I've only seen one case that I can recall where the person wasn't under significant stress for at least 2 years, Brother Frank, prior to the onset of the cancer.
Yep.
2 years. And for us as black men, it ain't no 2 years. I just turned 81, so it's probably in the first few years I didn't know, but when I became conscious for the last at least 70, 74, 75 years, it's a constant thing. I remember when my son was a little boy, well, especially when he got up, teenage, was able to drive and so forth. I mean, I never said anything to my wife,
mm-hmm.
but I was stressed every time he would leave the house. Then he wouldn't get back safely, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't because he wasn't a good kid and was doing something bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's because the color of his skin, you know? So that constant stress is something. And, you know, now that he's in Bermuda, I don't stress as much. You know, I still stress, but not nearly as much as I did before. And so we have to learn to deal with the stress thing. And we got to be screened, Brother Frank. We got to be screened. We have to take those PSA tests, you know? And Brother Frank, we got to have that digital rectal examination. You know, I hate it, but it's important for us to get it. You know, the last one I got, my urologist said that it was soft. You know, he feel it, and that made me feel real good. You know, mm-hmm. PSA was up a little bit, but we're working on getting that down. You know, because the other things that would cause prostate cancer, you know, and there are many, many factors associated with this thing. And we need to look at some of them, you know. One of them is our diets. You know, we got to be willing to make some changes in our diet. And in order to do that, we got to start seeing ourselves as being important. All right. We got to start seeing ourselves as really the leaders of our community. We got to look in the mirror. We got to get excited about what we see. And if we aren't excited, we got to decide I'm going to do what's necessary so that I can get excited. All right. You know, you know, as I talk to all of my patients, I ask them, what is your passion? We need to have passions of things that we want to accomplish. And what I'm finding, Brother Frank, is when people identify their passion, it almost always lifts somebody else up, you know, lifts someone else up. And so it's important for us to identify what our passions are so that we can really make a difference. And if you have a reason to live, you have a reason to change. You know, when you realize that you had cancer, and even though the doctors told you to pack it in, you know, you were gonna die. You didn't accept, although you heard them, you didn't accept it, I believe, because you had a reason to live.
Yeah.
There were some things that, you know, I got some unfinished business
mm-hmm.
I got to take care of. And you're now accomplishing that. And that's what we as male and female need to have that. But especially we're talking today about men and in particular Black men, although prostate cancer is important for all men, it's especially important for Black men. Now, I mentioned food. If you go to the breakfast table, so many of us will be eating eggs for breakfast. We generally talk about eggs and what it does for
your
heart disease, for mm-hmm. cholesterol. And it does increase cholesterol, especially the yolk of the egg. But that white of the egg is having an impact on the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And what they've done studies of people with prostate cancer. And they found out that if you eat less than one egg a day, and I cut back to two eggs, Brother Frank, when I was in residency. And then I would eat two eggs, two yolks, then two eggs and one yolk, then two eggs and a half a yolk, and then I cut them out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was that process. But if you eat less than one egg a day, it doubles your risk for prostate cancer progression.
Man.
Woo. All right. Mm. And how do they define progression? The cancer coming back, the cancer going to the bone,
mm.
and death.
And the bone, we're talking about spine generally.
Spine, man.
Prostate cancer.
Hip, spine, you know, pain.
Back pain.
But Frank, if you ate less than one serving of chicken, oh, Lord, have mercy. It quadrupled.
Ooh.
Four times the risk.
Ooh.
Of prostate cancer progression. All right? And so we need to definitely look at what we eat. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call, 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. This is something that we have to resolve. We need to look at the kinds of foods we're eating. Get rid of these processed foods, you know. We got to get rid of the sugar-laden foods, you know. Because they're literally killing us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally killing us. They increase, for one, inflammation.
Mm.
And as we've talked about it, inflammation is associated with just about every disease that we see. You know,
mm-hmm.
cancer inflammation, heart disease inflammation, diabetes inflammation, ulcers inflammation, you know,
mm-hmm.
Arthritis inflammation. You just name it. Inflammation is there. And so we got to get rid of the inflammation. And the foods that we're eating, along with the stress that we're having,
mm-hmm.
increasing the inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when we look at the environments that we live in, we're much more likely to be living in an environment where there's pollution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pollution from radiation, pollution from electromagnetic fields, you know, air pollution. It's just, it's crazy, Brother Frank.
Yes, sir.
But we have to do something about it, you know. And so we have to encourage our men, if they haven't been checked, to get checked. And get the information, you know, let's get the reading and not be afraid, you know. We don't like those digital rectal exams. We don't like to be stuck and having our blood drawn, but it's important for us to do so, you know, and then do something about it. Now, one of the things that I have found is that this diet thing, Brother Frank, is very, very helpful in not only preventing prostate cancer, it's also helpful in reversing it once you're diagnosed with it or once you have it in your body. And so we need to get on a good plant base whole food diet, and we need to have plenty of beans and cruciferous vegetables, broccoli and collard greens, you know, and we need to eat hearty. We need to start learning how to use seasonings. Dr. Latham's book is out, Brother Frank, and I got my copy Saturday. She was at our church, did an excellent job of speaking, and I got my autographed copy. You know, you got to get that book and other books with recipes that tell us how to make foods that's good for us taste good, you know, and be good to us, you know. I know, Brother Frank, you've been learning how to throw down.
Oh, yes, sir.
And make that food taste good, you know.
Yes, sir.
I've done it, you know. I said, I'm not going to, you know, my wife is busy. I'm not going to depend on her to make my food taste good. I'm going to learn how to do it myself. And it's so simple, using basic seasonings, herbal seasonings, to make these foods taste good. And it's fun to look at we can do. The number is 202-588-0893. It's 202-588-0893. Let's go to the phone. Yes, caller, you're on the air.
Hello, doctor.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yes, I just got in my car and just heard the tail end of what you're saying. I've been diagnosed with prostate cancer. They say I have a little spot on my prostate, and the PSA is like 3.6. I'm supposed to get another biopsy in next month. But did I hear you correctly saying that AIDS could be the culprit of the cancer?
So AIDS is one of the things that seems to really make the cancers worse, or to bring the cancers on. They said that less than one egg a day doubles the risk of prostate cancer progression. And that's the cancer coming back, going to the bone, and death.
And get rid of chicken, too.
And the chicken, four times the risk. All right? You know, we've been lied to. I hate to say it, but we've been lied to. We've been taught to believe that chicken is more healthy than beef. Well, there may be a time that it was, but that time is not now.
Okay, right. Now, I'm going to ask a question for the caller. Should he have another biopsy, or how are biopsies, period?
So what I would, if it was me, I would learn as much as I could about reversing the cancer, reversing the cancer, so that getting on a program diet, there's certain things. One of the things that that Brother Sam taught me, Brother Frank, this ivermectin, there's been studies to show that it is very effective with cancer, including prostate cancer.
Yeah.
You know?
What was that again? I'm sorry, you think got a little garbled to me. I'm listening to my headphones.
It's called ivermectin. And the first time I was exposed to ivermectin is when our president was president before, and he was touted it for COVID.
COVID, yeah.
And of course, when he was for it, I was against it. And so I was a little hesitant to even listen to my brother when he started telling me. But finally, he wouldn't leave me alone. He had to educate me. And finally, I went to start educating myself and running across articles that were done by established physicians, many of which were not in this country, that showed that ivermectin was very effective in treating not just prostate cancer, but all cancers. Many of them.
How do you spell that, doctor? Because I'm in my car right now, and I can't really write nothing down, but I'm interested in that.
It's ivermectin. But if you give us a call at our office, we'll clue you in.
I was told about another thing. I'm sorry to cut you off. I was told about another thing. Was called olive leaf oil. It's supposed to be effective.
Olive leaf is good for boosting the immune system.
Yeah.
Olive leaf is good.
Extract.
The extract. Right.
Stay on, caller, not stay on the phone, but listen to the entire show so you can get Doc's number at the end. Okay?
The number here is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. I think we have another caller on. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes, good morning to you, Dr. Watkins and Brother
Frank. Good afternoon,
Frank.
Brother. You in California, man?
No, sir, but I got you guys on my notification every Monday at 2 p.m. This is Brother Bill over First Trip. I'm going to be reaching out to you again soon. But
All right, my brother.
You're definitely hitting me up at the right time with this particular subject. I like to listen in all the time. I'm afraid to call in because if I'm calling and talking, I'm missing out on something you're saying and your guests oftentimes.
You can always anyway, go back and listen to the broadcast. You know, go to www.wpfwfm.org and
archives.
Go to the archives. Mm-hmm. You know, and okay. You can always listen again. Yeah. But did you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir, I certainly do. My question is, how is it that I've been looking over the last years, I'm 75, I've been looking over the years, a lot of our prominent black brothers in good positions in the world and everything and in life and society, and I know they have good insurance, and I know they must be getting physicals once a year. I get a physical once a year, sometimes twice a year. And how is it that they miss out on the PSA? When I first started getting my test some years ago, I was doing the physical thing, and I was dreading that, but nonetheless, I was doing it. So I was glad when they came to the PSA with the blood test. So how is it that it's missed by their private care?
Well, one of the things that's very interesting is that there's a section of the medical community that actually discourages us from doing PSAs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I think they're crazy, so I don't listen to them. You know,
they don't want
us to do PSAs. They don't want to get mammograms. They don't want to encourage women to do self breast examinations. It's like they're trying to kill us off. I don't know. But at any rate, and they're not just telling us the black doctors, they tell us to all doctors, you know. The mm-hmm. other thing is the doctor has a responsibility for getting. If you're a male and you come in my office, and certainly if you are 40 years older, if I draw blood, we're going to get a PSA on you.
mm-hmm.
So that's just standard that you're going to get your PSA. But then once you get the PSA and get the results, then you have some responsibility. All right. You have to take responsibility. The doctor has to have responsibility, but then the patient has to take responsibility. And that's why I was saying, we got to look in the mirror and see ourselves as being important. All right. And,
yeah.
You know, some brothers, don't want the surgery and so forth because they don't want the results of the surgery, which oftentimes is impotence. All right. Or the radiation, yeah. which is impotence. Or the hormone therapy, which is impotence. But what they don't understand is that oftentimes, if you make some radical changes mm-hmm. in your diet and lifestyle, you can reverse that cancer without those other things.
That's right.
And I ain't here telling people not to have surgery, so don't go lying on me, you know. But
right.
if I get prostate cancer, the first thing I'm going to do is make sure I check my diet and see if there's something that I'm missing.
And stress.
I'm going to check my stress and make sure that there's not some things I'm missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give myself an opportunity to reverse it without using the conventional methods. That's what I'm going to do.
Right now,
I'm doing everything I can to make sure that I don't get the diagnosis.
One last quick question, very quick question. Now, yes, I'm 75, and I have a relatively decent diet. I do exercise. And did I hear you say earlier that as you get older, you have more, a higher risk for cancer, for prostate cancer?
Yes.
Why is that?
Most the average age is 67, and the older you get, the more likely you are. You know, it's just your immune systems are breaking down. You're not exercising. You know, things are happening, my brother. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right. So if I got the diet going and an exercise, then I should be good, right?
Yeah. But you're checking things, but you need to make sure that the right person is confirming that your diet is good. A lot of people tell me they have good diets, and I said, don't tell me that. Tell me what you're eating.
Yeah.
And I'll determine whether I think it's good. Now, you know, you don't have to listen to me, but the reality is that not only have we been able to help prevent, we've been able to help reverse. many mm-hmm. Cancers. And so I may know just a little bit about this cancer thing, you know. So you want to make sure that you get the right person looking over your diet. You know, I had a nutritionist come in to see me the other day, and I said, I'm going to have you see this other nutritionist, because they taught me in med school that if you have yourself for a doctor, you have a fool for a doctor. I believe the same thing is true. If you have yourself as a nutritionist, you have a fool for a nutritionist. And so we need
that
to
too.
Somebody else look at, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I've been listening to you about the diet, and now I'm vegetarian, and I hit vegan every now and then, but I'm not there with the vegan yet.
So we don't even talk about vegan anymore, because you can eat as many potato chips and be vegan, you know, as many candy bars and being vegan. We're talking about whole food plant-based. All right.
Right.
And the thing is, what has to happen, my brother, is that we have to understand that our priorities have to be in the right order, you know?
Right.
Although I love for my food to taste good, taste cannot mm-hmm. be the number one priority. All right.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to really do everything that. I can to make them taste good. All right. But that cannot be my number one thing.
Right.
You know, when I found out that 60 to 90% of the calories and cheese came from fat, I said, oh, Lord, now I'm going to leave those pizza. But I cut it out.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I was on board with you. You said Lil's Pizza? Man.
Yeah.
I
eat cheese. It about once a year.
Cheese, brother. Cheese. Dairy. Well, the next time you get one of their vegan, they now have vegan pizzas. But I, you know, when I'm going to have a pizza, Johnny, I will make it myself. You know,
right.
And I make my vegan pizza myself, but I don't even do that often, because even the non-dairy cheeses seem like they have a lot of fat in them. So
I choose
to eat other things. My beans and rice, man. I'm telling you, ain't nothing better than my beans and rice, man.
Well, I'm a country boy. I grew up on every kind of bean. I can eat beans 5 days, 6 days a week.
So So that's where we got to go. We have to understand that we're here for a purpose, that God has a calling on us, and that therefore we need to do whatever we can to make sure that we are as healthy as possible. Because not only are you doing it for yourself, but people are watching you. Your children are watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. So we have a tremendous opportunity to help our community.
Okay, I agree with that.
All right, my brother.
Okay.
Okay, we look to see you soon.
Yes, you will. Okay.
The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Do we have anyone waiting for us there, Brother Frank?
No. But now's your chance. Now's your chance, listeners, to get information about prostate, the truth about prostate, the latest research. Most doctors don't know the latest research. And I would say the majority. You're not hearing this everywhere. Whole food, plant-based, organic, grow your own. You're not hearing this information. So now's your chance to call.
You know, and it's just, it's so important that we recognize this. You know, there are things that we can do that will make a difference, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of brothers mistrust the healthcare system, and there's plenty of reasons for that. But you find a doctor that you trust, all right, and then do your own research.
That's right.
You know, doc, what do you think about such and such? You know. And bring them the article. as I tell you all the time, Google me. Because even though Google may not be the most health-friendly thing, most of the things that we're saying, you can find on Google. So you know if Google is telling you to eat a whole food plant-based diet, Brother Frank, I went to AI. I had to give a talk this weekend at church on preventative, how to prevent and reverse chronic diseases. So I went to AI and I put in, how does one prevent? I put the best ways. That's what I put mm-hmm. in. The best mm-hmm. ways to prevent and reverse chronic diseases, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, hypertension. I didn't say anything about natural, Brother Frank. AI came back, which is Google-based, you know.
Yeah.
AI came back mm-hmm. and said, whole food plant-based diet,
mm-hmm.
exercise, sleep, stop cigarette cessation. You know, I mean, I was shocked, Brother Frank, but that's what AI said in response to a general question about preventing diseases. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me, doctor?
I got you.
Man, you are putting it down today with some very important information. I'm trying to call a lot of my dear veteran brothers who have been diagnosed with cancer to listen to what you're saying. But I had a question. When say, for instance, you're down the country and you're eating those country chickens that ain't got nothing to do with mass production, would that still fall under, let's stay away with the chicken and just continue to do the plant-based diet?
So it's chicken that you raise yourself, you mean?
Yes.
Probably if you raise it yourself, it's going to be less likely. Less.
Less of all chickens, animals that's on my farm that we raise and we feed ourselves, not nothing that's in the grocery store.
It's going to be less likely. I'll tell you that. But because of, unless you, you know, so much of what we're growing is has pesticides and, you know, and so forth. And so as much as possible, you want to try to eliminate the fatty foods, animal fat.
Yeah, my vegetables.
But if you're going to eat them, grow them.
That's what I do with my vegetables. Everything is organic. Nothing is pesticide.
All right.
Okay.
I will confirm. I will confirm my answer, and get back with you. But based on just because I've not read anything on it, but based on what you know, the major problem is the commercialization.
Okay.
So
yeah, because I have been diagnosed with lymphoma, and right now everything is resided. I took chemo, and I'm doing good, but you know, I'm trying to stay away from stress.
Yeah, and that's very important. That's very important. At some point you need to give me a holler. But the other thing is, I just thought about an article I read some years ago. They were saying that farmers, and it perhaps it was because of the pesticides and so forth, but they had one of the highest incidents of cancer was people on farms. All right.
Okay.
And like I said, it's probably because of pesticide exposure. I have to go back and read that, but that was a number of years ago that I read it.
Okay, well, all you right, know, I tell you, man, the plant-based diet is not a bad diet.
No, it's not. I love it. And I love to eat, man.
I was going to say, once you learn how to make that food taste good, man, you don't know the difference.
You know, you can't tell the difference. You won't miss it at all. The number. Thanks so much, my brother. The number is 202-588.
I'll give you a holler.
All right, now. 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hello. This is Robert K. out of Woodbridge, Virginia.
Yes,
I just got in on this. I just got in on your conversation regarding the prostate cancer and the ways to aid in resolving that issue, and I heartily endorse pretty much everything you said. I quit 44 radiation treatments back in 19 due to a rapid onset of my rapid rise in my PSA, of course. That gave me the, you know, told about the cancer. And I've been plant-based for more than 4 years now, and everything's pretty much in check. So I just wanted to thank you guys for the sage information that you're giving, and that is very important. Yeah, watch your diet at plant-based. Love it. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Glad,
confirmation.
Glad you're doing well. Glad you're doing well.
Yes.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. So we have to really understand that the life you save may be your own or someone close to you, you know? And so it's very important that we do what we need to do to take care of ourselves. You know, if we can avoid having to have the surgery and the radiation and you know, I tell folks, I'm not against surgery. I'm against unnecessary surgery. I'm not against medicine. I'm against unnecessary medicine, you know? And so, and if we do what we need to do, we could make medicine, surgery, and other invasive kind of things less necessary, you know? But we have to take care of ourselves. And I mentioned something a minute ago, Frank, and I want to reiterate it because I think I didn't hit it hard enough. We got to change our priorities.
Yes.
We have to change our priorities. We got to start really understanding what is important. What is important is not having a whole lot of grass. We need to have some fruit trees.
Come on, man.
We need to have some great, some seeded grapevines. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to start doing the things that we need. We need to be having our gardens. You know, we need to make sure that we are doing things to contribute to our community. You know, we're here. I didn't go into medicine to make money. You know, and I ain't got nothing against money, Brother Frank. I just want to be clear. I ain't got nothing against, I don't have a vow to poverty. But that wasn't the reason I went into medicine. I went into medicine to help people get well. And what I found personally is that the best way to get well is, number one, not get sick. The best way to be well is not get sick. So do the preventative thing. Mm-hmm. But then, in terms of restorative things, we have to go back to the basics, you know. And AI was right. You got to eat a whole grain, whole food, plant-based diet. You got to do the things that's necessary. And if we do that, we can make it. Brother Frank, any I see the time is about gone. Any closing remarks?
Yes, yes. Thank you, Doc. This has been so helpful for a bunch of people. And I wanted to reiterate, you will help yourself and it will pass down because your children and your friends will see it. Thank you to Kalia Chapman, our engineer. If you want to talk to Doc, make an appointment, 202-388-0992, Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5. That's 202-388-0992. Or you can go to www.twiliving.com. That's for the Watkins Institute. Thank you also to our Acting General Manager, Miyuki Williams, Katia Stitt, our Program Director, and all the WPFW staff, engineer, programmers, volunteers, and our loyal listeners. Thank you to Joni Eisenberg for that broadcast today. It was awesome, for sure. Thank you, Oladari and Maccabee, for your music contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW, Jazz and Justice Radio, awesome radio station. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that is To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Listen in next Monday at 2 o'clock for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health with Dr. Theodore Watkins and myself.
Salamata! I tell and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and leave the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish nor no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish nor no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no toe, nah, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead.
Hello, WPFW listeners. Summertime is here. Words, Beats, and Life has the event for your family and friends this season. The second annual DMV Made Festival is happening Saturday, July 26th on the National Mall, a one-day celebration of the D.C., Maryland, Virginia region, promoting the intersections of arts and culture, plus health and wellness. With live music by Go-Go Legends, EU featuring Sugar Bear, vocalist Navasha Deya, jazz fusion trio The Mastetics, Black Folks Don't Swim, Kamau, and much more. Plus Family Fun Zone, poetry and storytelling pavilion, interactive dance stage, live art installations, hands-on workshops, and health and wellness pavilion. July 26th on the National Mall. Full details at wblinc.org/DMVmade. See you there. Brought to you by Words, Beats, and Life with support from WPFW.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. More than two dozen states filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration today for withholding more than $6 billion in congressionally approved federal funding for kindergarten to 12th grade schools. Attorneys general or governors from 24 mostly Democratic-led states and Washington, D.C. sued in federal court in Providence, Rhode Island, arguing that the U.S. Department of Education and the Office of Management and Budget created nationwide chaos for schools by unconstitutionally freezing funding for six programs approved by Congress. The freeze extended to funding used to support the education of migrant farm workers and their children, recruitment and training of teachers, English proficiency learning, academic enrichment, and after-school and summer programs. The administration also froze funding used to support adult literacy and job readiness skills. North Carolina Attorney General Jeff Jackson said of the funding freeze, "This is plainly against the law." According to the lawsuit, the government was legally required to release the money to the states by July 1st, but instead, the Education Department notified states on June 30th that it would not be issuing grant awards under those programs by that deadline. The reason given was the change in presidential administration. Authorities are investigating the cause of a fire that broke out last night at an assisted living facility in Fall River, Massachusetts. The facility, which is called Gabriel House, has been in operation since the 1990s. It is a three-story building that houses people who are 55 years of age and older. At the time of last night's fire, around 9:30 p.m., Gabriel House was home to 70 residents. According to Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon, when emergency personnel arrived, multiple elderly victims were seen hanging out of the windows, screaming and begging for help to be rescued as smoke poured out of the building. Chief Bacon said that about 50 firefighters, including 30 who were off duty, joined the rescue effort after an automatic alarm system triggered the emergency call. He added that every police officer in the city was on scene, too, and everybody was rescuing people. More than 30 residents were taken by ambulance to nearby hospitals, but sadly, 9 people died. 5 firefighters were also hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries, but have since been released. Search and rescue efforts have resumed in Texas after heavy rains and more flooding put efforts on hold yesterday. Officials announced over the weekend that the overall death toll in the ongoing Texas flooding is at least 132. There are 106 confirmed deaths in hard-hit Kerr County, with 36 believed to be children, including those who are at Camp Mystic, the all-girls summer camp. Authorities believe that more than 160 people may still be missing in Kerr County alone, and 10 more in neighboring areas. In Kerrville, where local officials have been criticized about whether residents were given adequate warning about the rising water in the early morning hours of July 4th, authorities went door-to-door to some homes after midnight Sunday to alert people that more flooding was possible. In the wake of the catastrophic flooding, one official is asking for more cell phone service, sirens, and diversion dams, which are dams that divert all or a portion of the flow of a river from its natural course. In the D.C. area, as the blazing heat continues, more wet weather is expected. The National Weather Service has issued a flood watch that began at 2 p.m. this afternoon and will run until midnight tonight for most of D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia. Similar to the past several days, pockets of heavy rain could produce rainfall rates of up to 2 inches per hour. This is expected to lead to scattered instances of flash flooding, where the heavy rains persist the longest. In addition to flooding, damaging wind gusts and frequent lightning are possible too. In today's weather, it's currently about